get started. It's the, what is it, the 6th of March, right? No, 5th of March. 5th of March. And we've got a lot to do today. Have you noticed we have a lot to do every day? We have a whole lot to do every day because that's, we're getting, we want you to get your money's worth.
Do you want to comment about the Dow Jones?
Ah, yes. Have you noticed? We should be keeping track every day of this because Tuesday it tanked. Monday it had done well. Tuesday it tanked. Yesterday it did really well. Today it's tanking. So this is typical. This is typical of times when there's quite a bit of volatility, and we're going to see one today where the volatility is going to make this look tame. We're going to see a little film today. But we have to finish up our discussion of the markets with the Casas de Cambio. We'll talk about market transactions and then see a little film and then maybe do our own market simulation. I'm not sure yet. It didn't work out so well last time, but usually it's pretty cool, and we'll see if you guys want to do it. But first, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke?
Yeah,
good joke? What? A pensive joke?
No.
Nobody? Did you hear about the alligator that walked into the bar? Yeah, and the mushroom and the bear and the duck and the rhinoceros and the electron and the jumper cables. And how about the attractive, well-dressed, sophisticated, svelte condominium that walks into a bar?
What's that?
The attractive, well-dressed, sophisticated, svelte condominium walks into a bar, and she orders a daiquiri. Well, because she's sophisticated, right? So see if you can figure this one out. And the bartender goes to make her daiquiri, and there's a stately Windsor mansion on the other side of the bar, and he gives the bartender a look, and no, I'll pay for this, my good man. So the bartender makes the daiquiri and brings it back to the attractive, well-dressed, sophisticated, svelte condominium, who takes out her purse and goes to pay and says, how much? And the bartender says, no, that's okay. It's on the house.
Ah.
It's on the house. I told you they get worse. They don't believe me. Now they believe me. Okay, here's the spreadsheet. Please don't put it in your notebook. You know, it doesn't usually make its way. It didn't make its way all the way to the end of the class. I'm sorry, on this side here, okay? So remember, the first page has your normalized score. Look for your ID on your exam. The second page has the raw score. Make sure I added it up correctly. And the third page are the assignments. So please pass that around. Don't stuff it in the back of your notebook. Keep passing it around. All right, we're going to finish up stock markets today with a description of the Casas de Cambio. We'll look at transactions. And then we'll see what happens when things go wrong. We'll see what happens because nothing is perfect. Nothing we humans have done is perfect. So that is an example of we humans. Okay, everybody got chapter 5? Okay. Any extras in the back over there? No extras in the back? Okay, so we need more. A couple more. Oh, and I sent you an email. I hope you have you're checking your Southwestern College email, because who knows what happens if the I sent it a couple days ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it?
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
I got an extra one.
You got an extra one? Everybody got one now? Because who knows what happens? The border might be closed, the campus might be closed. Did you get one of these?
No.
Okay. And so check out Canvas. And you'll see that everything that we're doing in here is on there. All right, is that cool? All right, so now let's take a look at, we're above water. Not bad to be said, something to be said for that. But first, we're going to take a look at the Casas de Cambio. Now, we said that the stock markets operate via this either exchange system, but the exchanges, it's all electronic now, so it's very much like the over-the-counter market, where we have dealers and sometimes called market makers. And they're basically doing what these folks are doing. How many people go to TJ on a regular basis? Right? You know exactly what is going on here. This is San Ysidro, actually. We're not in Tijuana yet. And you come to these places, and what they're doing is they're advertising what they will buy and sell pesos and dollars for. If you bring them a dollar, these people will give you 18.025 pesos. But what if you want to buy dollars? You've got to pay them 18.525 pesos to get a dollar. You see what's going on here? So the pesos are like a little bit more than a nickel, right? Because there's about 20 pesos to a dollar. But notice right across the street, somebody has a different value right here. These are in fact, they're the same company, but they're two different locations. They're right across the street from one another. So these people will give you 18.035. So it's not the same price, is it? They're all bidding for your business. These people over here will give you more pesos for your dollars, but they want more pesos to give you a dollar. So there's prices all over the map. And here, where's the ABC? This place usually had, not always, but usually has the best prices. Now notice the spread. Notice the difference. Here the spread was fairly large between the price they will buy and sell the pesos and dollars. But here the spread is fairly small. The spread is the difference. And this is the bid ask price, and this is the bid price. I hate the names. This should be called, you know, retail. That's what you have to pay, and that's what you'll get for your pesos. Cool? Questions, thoughts, ideas? Yeah?
Isn't this Market makers?
Market makers, they're called. Yeah. Dealers, the specialists. They don't call them specialists anymore in the New York Stock Exchange. I'm sorry. Yes, you don't normally deal with these people. Well, now you do electronically because the brokers don't see it. It would go to the brokers, and then the brokers would deal with these people. The brokers charge you a commission. How do the market makers make their money? Through the spread. Notice, we are not brokers. We're not charging you a commission. We make money off the bid and the ask price. We make money off the spread between what we'll sell them to you, the shares, and what we'll buy them back from you. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Over there in that area, and like in TJ, a lot of buildings say duty-free. What is that?
Oh, duty-free is something different. Duty-free means, look, you can buy this product. You can buy this product, but you have to take it across the border right away with you. You cannot use it in the country you bought it from. And if you do that, then they get rid of the whatever tariff that was put on that. So when you go to that, what is that? What is the name of that company? Utah? What? Baja and then Utla. You notice they'll watch you. You have to cross the border with that stuff. Because if you don't, next time you come back, they'll say, you know, you didn't do it right, so we're going to have to charge, right, and we can't deal business with you. But they'll watch you if you don't cross the border. They'll slap your hand. Questions, thoughts? Okay, now, notice these people are trying, even though they have a pretty big spread here, they're saying, look, some of the other people say, we'll only do $200 or $300. And these people say, no, we're no limit. Now notice, right across the street from the folks we were just looking at, they will give you a whole lot more pesos for your dollars. Well, what's the difference here? These people are acting as a dealer, but they're also acting as a broker. They're also charging you a commission. You don't see no comisión, right? You don't see no commission. And that's perfectly legit. They're allowed to do that. It's in your broker-dealer-broker-client contract that you clicked here, that you read the whole thing, right? You read the whole thing, didn't you, when you signed up for Robinhood or whatever? Because that's perfectly illegal. That's perfectly legal. They can charge you a commission and make money off the spread. And it'll say it sometimes on the ticket, the little email you get. I'm sorry.
Do you recommend Robinhood?
Do I recommend it? Well, I'll let you decide because we're going to find out how Robinhood makes money. How does Robinhood make money? Well, okay, now let's go back.
I used to know.
Robinhood is a brokerage firm that sends the transactions to the broker dealers, the market makers. Not the broker, the dealers. I'm sorry. They're a brokerage firm. They're sending the transactions to the dealers, to the market makers, the people who buy and sell and make money off the spread. What do they do? What does E-Trade and Scottrade and the other, and Robinhood, the very low-cost internet brokers, they don't send it to the best place. They send it to the place that they have a special deal with. And they don't necessarily have the best price for you. And then that market maker turns around and gives a kickback to Robinhood. You don't use the word kickback. That has such a negative connotation. It's a remuneration for sending the deal, the transaction to that individual dealer. Are you with me? Understand what's going on here? So yeah, you're not paying a commission, but you are getting charged an amount based on not getting the best price. Because you look on the internet, you see one price, right? You think it's one price. No, it's dozens of prices, all being electronically now. We're going to see where it was face to face. We're going to see that today. Am I getting through? Making sense? Okay, now watch what happens. This is, and I never figured it out. We're going to now go across the border. And all of a sudden, you get pretty much the same, maybe a little bit less, pesos for your dollars. But you have to pay fewer pesos to get the dollars. Did you see the difference? And it almost always is this way. When you go from, this is the same day, same, just 5 minutes apart. Notice we're getting 18.579 pesos for our dollars, but we have to pay 18.550 pesos to get dollars. And we go to TJ, we only get 18.126 pesos for every dollar, but if we give them 18.239 pesos, we'll get a dollar back. And it's almost always, only a couple times have I seen it where they were parity or reversed. I'm not sure why. People don't really know. And notice, we're not brokers. We're dealers. We make money off the spread, not the commission. What's going on at OXXO and other places? Are they buying and selling pesos? No, they're just saying, look, we'll accept your dollars, right? We'll give you 18 pesos for the dollar. But we're not in the business of making money off of this, so we won't give you what the going rate is. We'll give you less, because then we got to turn around and deal with your dollars, however we deal with them. And then you'll see places like this. This guy has been around for decades, and it says, compramos comisión, right? It says, hey, we're making money off the spread, but we're also paying you commission. We're charging you a commission. That is perfectly legal, perfectly legit. It happens all the time. And notice, they will also buy and sell euros. Look at the spread on that. You give them a euro, they'll give you 15 pesos. You want a euro, you got to pay them 20 pesos. And this is what happens when you leave the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. When you go to one of the regional exchanges or the bulletin board or the pink sheets, the wrong side of tracks, you'll have a huge spread. So people will say, well, I can beat these guys at their own game with penny stocks. I can buy it and then watch it as it goes up and then sell it. No, you've lost as soon as you've purchased it, because the spreads are huge. And there's a movie called Wall Street, The Wolf of Wall Street, and he makes real quick mention of that. I could show it to you, but they don't explain it. And so most people, I'm sure, it went right over their heads. But he says, geez, look at these spreads. So these penny stocks, sure, they'll sell to you for 7 cents. But then when you go to buy it back, they'll only give you 4 cents for it. Doesn't sound like a lot. It's almost 50%. you've lost almost 50% as soon as you bought it. So don't think you can beat these people at their own at their game. There's an old saying, if you don't know who the patsy is at the poker table, you are the patsy. Are you with me?
What's a patsy?
You know, the fool. The pigeon we're going to pluck. Questions, thoughts? Now, when you go to Cancun or Puerto Vallarta, or one of the tourist traps, or if you go to this area, which is, you know, it's right near the cathedral, and there's all these women standing around, and they're talking to the gringos, and they're saying, "You want to vamos al cuarto?" They're going to teach them Spanish, right? They want to teach them Spanish, and you know they're very religious because they're right by the cathedral, and so this is what you'll see. Notice we were saying, yeah, you want dollars, we want 18.49 pesos. But we're only going to give you 17.099. Okay. And they figure you think it's like 17.9999. And so you see the spread here? This is what you'll see at the airport. You'll see it when you're in the tourist locations. And they just assume don't know what you're doing. And so you see how much you've lost, you know, like 5% right off the bat. Or more like 7%. Questions, thoughts, ideas? This is exactly what's going on in the marketplace now, in the stock markets. But it's all electronics. It's all electronic. It's all happening electronically. But it used to happen digitally. It is happening digitally. It used to happen face to face. And so what we're going to do here, okay, pause it. Where's the pause button? There it is. Okay. All right. We're going to see a video. It's not a particularly good video, but there's nothing I can find out there about the worst day in history, in modern history, of the marketplace. Ever since the modern, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was around 1896. October 19th, 1987. Black Monday, it's called. So this video is called Black Monday and Beyond. And these guys are like, they're trying their best to make it like Fox News and very sensational. But really, it almost, we looked into the abyss, as we did in 2008, and we were almost at the point where the markets crumbled. I don't think anybody of you were alive at that time. 1987, I was. And that night, my wife and I went to a friend of ours who had just started playing the market, and she said she sold. I said, "You didn't sell today. This is the worst day to sell." And my broker said, and her broker was young. He had never seen a crash like this before. So, now, what I want you to see is what you're going to see is it looks like pandemonium. But what they're doing is they're actually communicating with one another. If they go like this, or I'll take it, accept, it means they bought something. And they're yelling out numbers as they do. And we'll go into the numbers later on. If they go like this, they're trying to sell. I want to sell 100 shares or 500 shares or whatever. Five at 25. I want to sell 500 shares at 25. So watch them as they do their hand. You'll see one guy go, accept. It means he bought. I know it looks like madness, and it is, but that's how they worked, face to face. But with the now there's billions of shares every day that are changing hands, it's all electronic. There's a few people still on the floor of the exchange that are yelling and screaming at one another, but they're not really. They're having coffee and they're talking about things because there's very little for them to do. All right. So let's take a look at this video. As you see it, I'm going to point out the specialist. You'll see a few people who are literally saying, here, you go with him. You buy over there. They're trying to get people to move the transactions. And then every once in a while, they will buy or they will sell. They're the specialists, and I'll point them out. And they literally have books. It was called their book, and then that was still the 1980s. And then it turned electronic, and then boom, they're gone. Okay, so let's see if we can get this guy. And... Now watch, because we're going to do it afterwards. We're going to do
August 25th, 1987, the Dow Jones Industrial Average stood at 2722, the highest point in history. continues today as a market where daily rates 50 or 100 points seem almost common. This is a new environment where markets are greatly affected by sophisticated strategies in the hands of a few high-powered players. It is a market greatly influenced by the use of futures and options. What follows is the story of the two most incredible days in financial history and a guide to investing in this new market environment.
The market was oscillating up and down, it was jumping up and down, just like it is now. Nate here, and Sarah.
As far as I can see, it's probably in the lower probabilities.
Xavier here? And then Giovanni. Here's a specialist. He's a specialist. He's trying to get people to buy and sell. 95 points was a huge drop. Today it's nothing. I'll sell.
Generally speaking, we don't want to see interest rates increase.
He wants to sell. Everybody's trying to sell. Sell! Sell! Oh, it's madness. It looked, when you look at it from afar, it looks like madness, but there's transactions being done. See, this was a huge drop at that time because it was only 2,000. So here's my.
What's happening?
And we were fired on Iran. Sound familiar? I'll accept. He just bought something. There's a specialist trying to get people to buy and sell.
A normal day's trading had taken place in 1 hour.
So the market's going up and down, up and down.
The country were beginning to hear about the sell-off. They listened to news reports,
watch ticker tapes. They gather to discuss rumors and try to get through to their brokers.
Someone said, oh, yeah, the Dow is dropping. And then listening to it on the news. And then at noon, it was like, oh, it's dropping, you know, so many hundreds of points.
I did not have the radio on, but I went out for lunch. And then the word started getting around about the market going south. A couple of my friends, at least one of them, sold a whole bunch of stock and took a terrible loss.
I've heard two large traders initiated Black Monday, and that they tried to unload about $4 billion worth of stock in the first half hour of the trade, and that's Wells Fargo and Fidelity Investments.
More than 400 million shares had been traded. The New York Stock Exchange computers were falling behind due to the tremendous buzz.
There's my brother. He looks like me. Sell, 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 sell everything!
People by the end of the day, or no, didn't understand what was happening. This is a bigger drop than the 1929 crash. And we've never had a day like that. I don't think very many people really understood what was happening.
By the end of the day on Monday, the
market meltdown, market intel mode.
And we all had a sinking feeling. We were looking at
panic.
What's going to happen tomorrow? And
is it the end of the world?
After the company voluntarily shut itself down, regulators moved leadership as a complex bankruptcy proceeding begins. Tonight, the White House called a news conference to assure H.P. Shane's 4,500 customers that everything is under control.
I think the fundamentals look sound. We, of course, recognize some market nervousness. It's clear to me, however, that conditions do not warrant apocalypse now worries or scenarios. They've cropped up now and again since this recovery began. I have said before that I thought they were unwarranted. I still think that they are unwarranted.
This business coming out of Washington, all the fundamentals are found wrong. A $3 trillion debt is not sound. Not having a national will and have a budget is not sound.
We're still going to open tomorrow. Don't worry.
Workers, traders, and exchange officials in the U.S. sorted through the wreckage and worked all night to prepare the damage. As October the 19th faded into history, it was another black day for the rest of the world.
This is what you don't want to see.
Why not?
What kind of confidence do people have when they see they can't even sell their shares now? I can't sell my shares. No one's going to buy them. I mean, the markets are closed. You don't want to see that.
The opening bell in New York again found the market in chaos, with specialists unable or unwilling to open trade.
Here. Here goes. I'll sell you. Here's the specialist. And I'll sell you. You know, here he's trying to get everything going, and he's I will sell you also because I'm a specialist. I buy and sell. This is when people just start just saying, I'm out of here. It's from plus 240 down to minus 240. The computers were all behind. Everybody was behind. It was all messed up.
I'm not afraid to say that there is some point, and I don't know what that point is, that I would be quite anxious to talk to our friends at Goldman Sachs and Bank of America and the Veritex
I think it's
point in time that the Wall Street Journal called the most dangerous in 50 years. And this was the situation. The market had lost more than 30% of its value, $1 trillion in a week. Rumors of widespread bankruptcies in the financial industry were being reported. The Federal Reserve had promised to force cash into the system, but would it be enough or too little too late? And now the major exchanges were closing down. If the next move was negative, if the markets broke, this time it would be a crash far beyond Black Monday. This was the eye of the hurricane that had engulfed the world.
They're trying to make it sound more dramatic than it was.
Investor using a little-known stock index futures contract, the major market index, still open and trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, began buying. An individual investor was going to throw. Someone was stepping into the breach. In the next half hour, this stock index, designed to mirror the Dow, exploded upward equal to a 440-point rally on the big board. The MMI was staging the most powerful rally in its history, and probably the most significant in the last 50 years. The Dow began to respond. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange reopened at 1:15. The CBOE reopened as did the Kansas City Board of Trade and the New York Futures Exchange. The Dow rallied up 125 points in the next 45 minutes. On the Merck S&P 500 futures rallied, then fell back. The Dow followed. Down 100 points again in an agonizing free fall. Then around 2 p.m., there was a series of announcements that major corporations were going to buy back their own stock. Major U.S. companies were supporting the market. The Dow again rallied up over 100 points and closed with the biggest one-day gain ever. But what a day it had been. And it was not over yet. After a very volatile week, the market fell 156 points the following Monday, and we were treated to this story.
The sounds of a distraught wife who just learned that her stockbroker husband, 39-year-old Lloyd Kolakoff, was shot, critically wounded, and taken to Baptist Hospital. But even more shocking, the office manager, 53-year-old Jose Arnalagos, shot and killed. It happened before noon today at Merrill Lynch's The Falls office. 51-year-old Arthur Payne, a regular customer who had lost heavily in the market during last week's plunge, met with the two men. Witnesses say the office door was closed and the meeting quiet. Suddenly, Payne pulled out a .357 Magnum and began shooting the men. He then committed suicide. Employees leaving the building were visibly shaken.
So, you know, this happened in 2001 also, that a couple times, I think it was, when the markets fell that bad. Didn't happen in 2008, though. How's that, huh? Come on.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Nobody shot one another because it's, how do you get rid of this thing? Okay. Okay, so, questions, thoughts, ideas? Yeah. Okay, who's got this? Who needs to see the spreadsheet? Pass it back to Sarah, please. Okay. At the end, he goes, companies were stepping in to save the market. Were they? And somebody had the guts to buy at the bottom. It worked, even though it looked like it was about, yes.
So when they're like yelling and screaming at each other, how do you know that you got what you wanted or you sold?
I know. It's a mess, isn't it? It's very difficult. There were people. You saw different colored jackets. So some were red, some were orange, some were blue. There are people who are making the trades, and then there are people who are following up and making sure that they're writing everything down and then putting in. And then there's other people who are doing the transactions. So it was as efficient as they could have been at the time. But now it's all electronic. It's all gone. That's all gone. There's a few people on the floor making transactions. But it looked like chaos until you get involved, and then you realize this is your job. When he does that, you write this down and send it to this person who runs it to the, it was a mess. And it looked like a mess, but when you were in it, you understood how it was working. It worked. But it was not as efficient as it could be because they didn't have the same amount of technology. And also the number of shares just is so much more so much more shares being traded. Now, do you want to do the simulation? Do you want to do the guys and gals up on this screaming and hollering at one another? No? You don't want to do it? Yeah, let's do it. I want to do it. But I'm sorry, I didn't get them out. Okay. Yeah, I got these people. You have the buy sell. You have the buy orders, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now you guys are going to have the sell orders. All right, so here are your brokers. All right, now in your handout, take out your handout that I gave you today, and look for the. Make sure you have enough shares. How many shares do you have? No, I should have 200 shares. She's got the rest shares. And look for market simulation. Okay. Here, take those. I'll have to give you some more shares. You guys might not have enough shares.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay.
I might have to give you some more shares.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere. Okay. Pass out some shares to you sellers. Pass out some shares. We don't really need the shares. I'm just showing you that there is a transaction and something is moving from one person to another. And so an extra, here, 2,000. All right, so what page is that? Market simulation. Page six. So pass, make sure everybody gets enough shares. Look how many shares you're supposed to have in passing. So page six. All right, following, so you saw when they try to sell, they went like this. When they want to buy, they go like this, right? And so that's why we like round lots. We'll discuss round lots eventually. Because if they said 25, and moved their hands toward them, it meant I will buy 100 shares at 25. Does that make sense? If they said 26, and pointed and pushed their hands away from them, it meant I will sell 100 shares at 26. If they said 2 at 25, that meant 200 shares. And that's why they liked you to buy in 100 share increments. They're called round lots. If they said 17 shares at 25, that means it was only 17 shares, not 1,700, 17 times 100. No, they said 17 or 25 shares. And that's an odd lot, and you had to actually pay more for those shares or get less when you sold them. So you don't have to do that. You just have to say 200 at 25 because that's what we're saying in the round lots. So if you're a salesperson, if you're a broker and you're selling, you'll see it says sell 100 shares or sell 200 shares. And if you're buying, it'll say buy 200 shares. Following the ups and downs of the stock market is bewildering. Why did the market go up today? Why did it go down? The financial media will invariably offer some plausible reason for the price movements. Stocks rose today on the anticipation of good earnings reports. Worries from the continuing trade wars drove stock prices down. You will then hear fellow investors parroting the phrases to one another. However, these reasons are just guesses, right? Did the financial journalists ask each and every one of the hundreds of thousands or millions of investors and traders around the world why they sold, why they bought? They'll say, oh, it's because of the virus. They don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe we don't know. Maybe some people did. That's impossible. The only reason you can be absolutely sure why the market went down or went up is because there were more buyers than more sellers. If the market went down, there were more sellers than buyers. That's it. Are you with me? It's pure supply and demand at its pure essence. The stock market as a whole simply reflects the aggregate price movements of the individual stocks that constitute the market. The price of each and every stock is governed by what price the sellers are willing to sell the stock for, and what the price the buyers are willing to pay for the stock. Our market simulation will give you the flavor of that supply and demand. We will simulate the floor of one of the stock exchanges. Each of you is a broker. So now you're brokers now. You're not dealers. We're not going to have specialists or market makers. You have been given a job to do. You have been told you're selling 100 shares on behalf of your clients, or you, over here you're buying. And in reality, we put the buyers over here, sellers over here. They're all intermingled. Everybody's just intermingled, so it even gets worse than that. You're trading shares of Take the Money and Run. You've heard of them, right? Take the Money and Run. You have a list of transactions that have been forwarded to you from your office. Your job is to get your best price. So you're representing your client, and you know you don't know who they are. Maybe you do, but your job, if you're selling, is to try to get the highest price. If you're buying, is you're trying to get the lowest price. Does that make sense? Okay. So you got to do some haggling here. We're gonna be yelling at each other and saying, okay, I'll buy a 200 shares at 25, and I'll sell 200 shares at 26. No. So you gotta fight for one another. All right. Now here's where it gets a little tricky. We're going to discuss the different transactions. There's actually four different ones, but we'll just do two. If it's a market transaction, that means just get it done. Get the best price you can, no matter what happens. However, if it says stop, then what happens is you will not transact until it hits that trigger limit. If it says, let's see, who has a stop? Here's one with a stop that says 228. Stop, it says a sell 200 shares at 28. Until the price hits 28, if it's below that, this stop order is just dormant. It's just waiting. As soon as it hits 28, boom, it becomes a market order, and now you've got to get you got to sell at the best price. Same thing is true for buying. Let's get rid of this guy. Would you catch this and throw it in the trash? Good. Oops. Oh, sorry. Not my best throw. But so on the buying side, let's say it says buy 100 at 22. If the price is hovering around 25, 24, this thing is buy stop. Stop order. This transaction will not be involved until the price falls to 22, and then this transaction becomes a market order, and you got to get the best price for your client. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now you gotta think like New Yorkers. You ever been to New York or Philadelphia, the city of brotherly shove? I'm from Philadelphia. You ever been to Philadelphia? You're not missing much. Okay. But the culture is very different. Hey, California, everybody's your friend, you know. Everybody's nice. Wrong, you know. You know, in New York and Philadelphia, you only have a few friends. You know the difference between a friend and a good friend? That's right. Yeah, a friend in Philadelphia, we know the difference between a friend and a good friend. A friend will help you move, but a good friend will help you move a body. All right, so you got to think like a New Yorker. You got to think like Philadelphia, Boston. It's Boston. You got to be rough. You got to be brusque. You got to yell out for your clients. So you ready to do it? Yeah.
So the rules are me to buy. I buy market value.
What does it say?
You must buy when the market opens. Try to get the best price for your client. So am I trying to buy low?
Sure, you're trying to buy. The buyers are trying to get the low price, right? Mm-hmm. The buyers are trying to get the low price, and the sellers are trying to get a higher price. You're trying to get the highest price you can. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if we can turn this off. Where did it go? I know. See, this is where people just kind of go. Last year, people just played this. I said, come on, you got to sell, you got to sell. Come on, you got to buy, you got to sell. Wait, the market's not open yet. All right, now, the market's not open yet. I'll be the ticker. And the ticker is the transactions, and you can see it going by. You know, now you can't even bother. If you go to your broker's, you go to your broker's office, you can ask to see the ticker, but it just flies by. You can't even follow it. All right, so I'll be the ticker. So every time there's a transaction, wait, listen. Every time there's a transaction, yell it out, and we have to stop and write it down, all right? And you can write it down, too, on your paper, but we're not going to turn it in. Yes?
Good thing we're doing it electronically.
No, the colors are just, they're the same. I know, are we doing everything electronically?
Yeah, it's more peaceful, quiet, this is like mayhem.
Yes, you're right. This is, doesn't it look like mayhem there? Yeah. Okay, so the opening share, the opening price. Now, here are the buyers. Here are the sellers. And remember, you want to sell, you go like this. 225, 226. And you want to buy. I'll buy 223. Okay? So the opening bell. Ding, 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 ding. Get in there, folks. Buy and sell. Buy and sell. Come on, you got to yell it out. Yell it out. Come on. Come on, you got to buy. You got to deal with these people. These are the sellers. Wait. Stop. Okay, what's the transaction? What? 124. So the ticker went down. New price is 24. New price is 24. If you have a stop order at 24, get in there. Come on, sell. 2 at 27. Anybody? You got any buyers? Well, you got. They're the buyers. Not. I'm not buying. Okay. $224. We got a price of 20. 224. Come on, we got a buyer. What? How much did you buy?
124.
Price is 24.
I can only go up to 23.
Come on. Okay. What?
I got 100 shares at 30.
Wait a minute. You bought 100 shares at 30? Whoa. Wait. Whoa. Stop. He bought 100 shares at 30 and the price is 24? The Securities and Exchange Commission has opened up an investigation in these two brokers. Can you see where there'd be some hanky-panky going on? Yeah, sure, I'll buy it at 30. And I'll give you some of that money back. Yeah. All right, so now we've hit 30. So you sellers, if you have 27, 28, 29, 30, you got to sell. You got to get, come on, talk to the buyers. Come on, buyers, you got to buy. Get in there, you got to buy orders. What? 125? Okay, we're back down to reality. 25 is the current price.
26.
Okay, how much? How many shares? 126. We're moving up. 26. Buyers, come on, you guys. Melissa, come on. You got it? Look. Go talk to them.
Twenty-four.
We're going back down again. How many shares? Oh no, sorry. How much? How many did we get? We got a sale.
Come on, Josue,
Kevin, go talk to them. Come on, go tell. You got to buy. You're going to get fired. You're not going to have a job tomorrow.
Hey, 25.
25, how many shares? 100 shares at 25. 100 shares at 25. 25 is a new...
26.
Yeah, you want to buy, as soon as it hits 23, you can now buy 100. Until it hits 23, that buy order is dormant. As soon as it hits 23, then you got to get in there and buy.
26. I got 26.
Okay, how many shares?
I got 200.
226. Current price is 26. Did you get a sale? How many?
400.
At how much?
200 at 224. Since I had two, so I got 400.
And then another 224.
Yeah. So no, I got 400 at 24. So.
Well, they're two different transactions. Yeah.
I'm messing with you. Hey, 127.
Did you sell?
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. You are good. I don't know. You are good. We hit 27.
Is the 21 average? 124.
No, she did two transactions. She sold 224 and then 220. And that's typical. Like, for example, you might have 400 shares to sell or buy, but it won't happen in one transaction. It might happen in two or three transactions. 124. 200 for 24. Who wants to buy?
No way.
She's on the buying side.
200 for 26.
Come on, you gotta sell. You got your shares. Sell your shares. What? At 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Well, market are gonna close pretty soon. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, market's gonna close pretty soon. I still
have. Yeah, quick.
200 shares for 26.
226.
I want 26. I can't take 26. Hey, who wants 28? 500. All in.
He's got 500 to sell.
500.
How much?
28. All of it.
28? No, 27. 27.
27.
There's help there. 27. 100 for 27. He'll buy 100. He'll buy 100. He'll sell you 100 for 27. What?
Yeah, 500. Yeah, man, the market's gonna close.
Yeah, quick, the market's closing soon. Quick.
Buy someone.
Barry, you didn't sell your shares.
For 27?
Yep, 27.
What price do you want?
Trying to give like $24. I said no.
Well, what do you want?
What are you selling for?
How about 27? You gotta be reasonable, right? You gotta sell those shares. How many? 300 for 27. Who will buy? I went pretty well. You have a stop at 23. It didn't. This one is active now.
Yeah, this one.
But that one is not active. We haven't hit 23 yet.
We haven't hit 23, but this one's active, so I can still buy it.
Oh, you can still buy.
Yeah.
No, not
125. You lied,
bro.
All right, fine. You're not taking. You're not selling those 200.
You're not selling those 200. Any more sales? Come on. You're not gonna have a job tomorrow if you don't sell those shares.
What is that?
I can't go that high.
Oh, you need more shares. I'll get you some more shares.
Hey, 726.
There are four shares.
Can you buy it higher than the ask price?
Sure. As soon as it hits 24,
yeah.
See, this one is not active, but it's hit 24. Now that one's active. You buy at whatever price you can get. You'd like to get 24,
yeah.
But you might have to pay 25. You might have to pay 26.
I got 125.
Okay. So it stayed pretty much, except for a few outliers, it stayed pretty much around 25.
That's my outlier right there.
Okay.
I got 200 shares.
Did you sell any?
Yeah, I got 400 at 24.
Okay. Market's ready to close.
Am I done? I got.
You bought them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're done. Well, we can give you more. You want another one? You want another buy? You want to get in there and buy? No, not sell.
Sell?
Sell.
500 for 26.
500 for 26. $200 for $26. So that seems to be the going price. How many? 125.
Thank you. I sold 1,000 for $24.
I bought 1,000.
Okay. Ding 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 ding. Okay.
Oh, ding. Who did that?
Down. 25, 24, and then up. Okay. All right. Ding, 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 ding. Market's closed.
It's probably a high price.
Yeah.
Yo, who did so, it for 30?
Huh?
Who bought it for 30?
That's classified.
Well, yeah. There's an investigation. There's a kickback going on.
Hey. We'll say 100 for 25.
Okay. So you see, if this is called the tick. When it goes down, the little arrow goes down, goes straight across, down, down. All right, what do you think? What do you think? Comments, criticism, suggestions? This is all gone. All this trading is gone, as Ruben says. Why aren't we doing this electronically? But it gives you the flair for what. It's a lot more peaceful. Yeah, just see a room of computers. I think the only reason they keep the floor of the New York Stock Exchange open is for television. Because you see the guys, I don't see all guys, there's a few women, but there's mostly all guys, and they're just standing there talking to one another. And the one guy, they always show him because he's got the white hair, and they always show the same guy with the shock of white hair, he's kind of old. He always wears a hat that says Dow 35,000 or whatever. So this is history. This is how it was done, but no more. It's all electronic. But what do you think? You understand now what's going on here? Even though it's not going face to face, there are people sitting in rooms entering buy and sell orders, and there are now people, you, using Robinhood or whatever, entering your order, and it never even is seen by one of these people. It just goes electronically into the system and is poof, done automatically. Cool. Questions, thoughts, ideas? I enjoy. I went. You guys did better than last year. Last year they rose just.
You should let the brokers sell. You should let the brokers sell. One sold 12,000 for 30.
12,000? Yeah. That's what happens. You see, when somebody wants to sell 12,000, do you think it happens all in one transaction?
No, of course not. But I bought ten.
Yeah, it happens in several transactions, and they'll tell you. You know, the first one, you only get charged once. But the first one is for 100 shares, the other one is for 50 shares, 100 shares. But remember, the brokers are charging you a commission. The dealers, the market makers, are making money off of the spread, off of the bid and ask price. So let's now come back to the
presentation.
What? Play it again. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. What? Okay, so let's now we're going to come back to the slides and look at the transactions and define them. But first, you've heard the terms bull market and bear market. You know what they are, right? No? Okay. Well, bull market is when prices are going up. You know, investors are optimistic. The economy is recovering or in an expansion. The government is stimulating the economy. And people are happy. And bear markets, people are sad. Normally associated with falling prices, investor pessimism, and economic slowdown. And where do the terms come from? Well, you'll hear that the bears are reticent, they're reclusive. But really, it comes from a really bizarre piece of linguistic history. And if you're interested, look it up. But I'm not going to even try to explain it because I don't even understand it either. It has something to do with bear trappers, people who would go out and sell the skins before they actually trapped the bear. The bull, though, that makes sense. Bulls charge ahead, right? They throw up their their horns and they throw their opponents up in the air, where bears knock their opponents down. So that, so just make sure you notice bull means up, bear means down. And it typically, a bear market is 20% down. If it only goes down 10% or 5%, that's a correction. It's not a bear market. 20% down is a bear market. So now let's take a look at the market, the orders. There are really four market orders. We only did two. But the most important one, in my humble opinion, is the market order. Whatever the price is going now, give it to me. Either sell it at that price or buy it at that price. Remembering that there are dozens of prices being thrown around at any one time. And your dealer, your broker, I'm sorry, your brokerage firm may not go to the, might not get you the best price. Now, traders, speculators and the like, they like these other types of ways of doing business. This is what I always tell people. You want to buy it, buy it. Whatever the price is, buy it. You want to sell it, whatever. But you can say, no, I will not pay more than $23 for that stock. It's selling for $25. I will pay $23 or less. I can get it for less. And that's called a limit order. And the same thing is true on the sell side. It's selling for $25, but I will not sell it until it hits $30. Now, what's the problem? You might not get the transaction. Yep. If you're saying, I'll only pay $23 for this or $22 for this stock, and it's $25, and it keeps going up and up and up and up, what's going to happen to your transaction? It's not going to happen. So that's a limit order. Now, when you have a stop loss order, that's what we were basically doing. I just called it a stop. As soon as that trigger is hit, as soon as it hits that price, then it becomes a market order. A stop loss is just sometimes called stop. So as soon as it hits 20, you're saying, oh yeah, I'll buy it at 23. As soon as it touches 23, your transaction becomes a market order. Might you pay 23 though, if it's a market order? No, you might not. You might wind up paying more because it might jump back up on you. Or you might wind up paying less. And then a stop limit is essentially a limit order, but it's very similar to a limit order. You buy it, sell at that price once the trigger point is reached. And so there's a very subtle difference, but we're not going to go in, get into it. Just make sure when you understand the market order, sell at any price, limit order, I will only pay this price, and then the stop loss, the stop limits happen when the trigger is occurred. Although you can use limit orders to buy or sell at the price you want, and stop loss and stop limit orders to lock in profits, you know, you bought the stock at $10, it's now selling for $25. If it goes down below $22, I want to sell because I made a good profit. Remember, they trigger automatically. By the time you just, I don't want to do it. I don't want to sell. I don't want to buy. By the time you get to your computer or your handheld device, it's too late. It happens so fast that you cannot cancel the order. It's too late for you to do that. So I just tell people do the market. Make sure you understand the difference between market, limit, and stop. And don't worry about stop limit because it's very subtle. All right, and this is from your book. I tell people, just, you want to buy, use the market. You want to sell, use the market. But other people like the stop and the limit orders. All right, now let's skip this guy, come back to it later. Come back to that guy later. Traditionally, transaction costs. You see, all these people had to be paid. They were doing their work, right? So transaction costs were in the 1 to 5% range, sometimes higher. And the largest portion was the broker's commission. But that's all changed now. It used to be you'd pay $100 or more to buy a stock. And that's why they wanted you to buy 100 shares or 200 shares. So Merrill Stench and Morgan Stupid, I'm sorry, Merrill Lynch and Morgan Stanley, and you had a personal broker. And it was expensive to buy and sell stocks. But deep discount brokers, Schwab and the E-Trash and the Snottrade and all the Ameritrash, they have pushed the price down to the point where Robinhood, a couple others tried it before, but this is the only one that's lasted. Robinhood now has started offering free trades, and they've targeted it to the young adults, and they have been extremely popular. And now their brokerage firms are following. Any people use Robinhood? You use Robinhood already? And you're happy with it? Pretty much happy with it?
I tried, but I failed.
You failed? At what? Why did you fail? Okay, guys. Okay. Did you lose a lot of money? Is that what you mean?
No, no. I just didn't know how it
works. Okay, you didn't know how it works. Okay. But have transaction costs really gone down? The answer is yes. But more and more of the cost is hidden from you. You don't see that cost because you don't see the markup and the markdown. So here, this is, I don't know if Scottrade still does this, but on the email confirmation, it's sometimes called the confirmation, sometimes called the ticket, whatever. This is what they would put on there. No, that's on the next, I'm sorry, the next slide, I'm sorry. A deep discount internet broker offers trades for $5 or $7 in the fine print of the client broker agreement that you clicked here, that or tap here to say you've read the agreement, is a provision that allows the broker to solely utilize exclusive stock dealers and market makers. The quoted price is simply the best price available at any one time. And also remember, if you don't pay extra, you're seeing it 15 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago. There are dozens of prices quoted as dealers, market makers. They're not called specialists anymore. They're now called, they're market makers, compete for buy and sell orders. The chosen dealer doesn't necessarily have the best price. So you think you're going to pay $20 because that's the best price, but you wind up paying $20.05 because of the markup. Or when you sell, the markdown. The investor sees the $7 commission, or if you have one of the new ones that don't charge, you don't see any commission, but you don't see the extra $5 they paid on the on a 100-share purchase because you were paying 5 cents extra than the best price. So here's the disclaimer I was telling you about. I don't know if they still have this, but this was on every email confirmation that you got after you made a trade. And you know, folks, when they use uppercase, they're trying to make it look like they want you to read it, and it's really important, but they know that you won't read it. It is far harder to read prose when it's all in uppercase. We use uppercase, anybody into design, we use uppercase for headlines, yeah, but what do we use for red text? You use lower and upper and lower. And it does, it's all legalese. Scott Trade Incorporated receives remuneration for directing orders to particular broker, dealers, or market centers for execution. Such remuneration, that means money, by the way, is considered compensation to the firm and the source, and the amount of any compensation received by the firm in connection with your transaction will be disclosed upon request. What are they saying? They're getting a kickback. You know, out of that 5 cents, they might get two. They get a kickback. And that's I mean, did you really believe you were getting trades for free in Robinhood? You know you're being charged, right? You just don't know how. Well, here's how you're being charged. And in Scott Trade's defense, at least they prominently disclose the relationship on every email that they send you when you make a trade. Others just hide it in the customer agreement, and you never are aware of the relationship. All right? Now, what was the... Okay. Let's go back. That was one way that Robinhood makes money. The other way is this guy that I threw off. You can literally go to your brokerage firm and borrow money. The brokerage firm is acting like a bank. Well, there's a bank behind them, right? And you can borrow up to 50%. So the stock is $100. You can borrow $50, put up $50, and buy half, you buy the whole stock, but with half the amount of money. And what's going on here? When you borrow money, what do you pay?
Interest.
And so this is another way that Robinhood wants to make money. In fact, they really do want to be a bank, and they tried to do something. They said, we'll pay you this much interest. And I said, when I saw it on the news feed, I said, no, they're not. And the next day, the Securities Exchange Commission and the Federal Reserve Bank, no, they're not. They're not doing that. They're not a bank, so you can't do that. So that's another way they make money. And selling short is similar. But instead of borrowing money, you borrow stock. Huh? You borrow stock that you don't own. You then sell it, receive the cash, and wait for the price to go down. and then sell and then buy it back. You see, we tend to think of buy low, sell high. You can do it. Yeah, sure. You can buy low, sell high. You can also sell high and buy low. It doesn't matter what order you do. Now, doesn't it sound illegal? You're borrowing and selling something and ain't yours? Perfectly legal. Banks do it all the time. When you give them your money, what do? They put it under their mattress? No, they lend it out, right? And the same thing is true here. You have 100 shares of IBM. Well, somebody at your brokerage firm, you don't know, you don't see it. It's all done electronically now in the back office, it's called, might borrow that 100 shares and sell it out on the market. And then when the price goes down, they have to buy it back because it's not theirs, right? So they have to buy it back. So, but what happens if the price goes up? Don't we like it when the price goes up? Not if you borrowed the shares, because now you're in trouble. You're gonna. So that's all you have to know. We'll come back to this and how the mechanics, how it works at the end of the semester. All you have to know is what's on this slide about buying on margin. Borrowing money from your yeah.
Can anyone do this?
Well, they're going to run a credit check. They're going to want you to get a credit card or a car loan. They're going to run a credit check and make sure that you're credit worthy. And yeah, they love it because they're making money off the interest, right? They're not stupid. Oh, it's usually a pretty good interest rate. It's usually about 2 or 3 percentage points above prime rate. So it's like 4 or 5%
yeah,
now.
It sounds a lot better than like credit cards.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot better than credit cards.
It's a bad idea, though, because if you take a loss, you get a fucking
test. That's right. It is not. I will do my best at the end of the semester to keep you from ever selling short or buying on margin. Buying on margin could make sense for people once they've built up a substantial portfolio. Excuse me, listen. Sorry.
You could like sell stuff on the market, but then at certain apps, do they also make a certain commission out of it?
Well, remember, Robinhood is not charging you a commission. I'm not sure who else, a couple others are doing it now. They're making money off the spread, right. Now, they're not making that money. Remember, they're not making that money. They're not the market maker. The market maker, the dealer, is making that money, and then they're kicking back some of that money to Robinhood.
So is that how the app works?
Well, I don't
know exactly, but I don't know the name of the app.
The app is just how you enter the transaction. You can enter it on the internet. Okay, so now, doesn't that sound a little underhanded, doesn't it? It is. In my humble opinion, if you're going to charge people something, I want to tell them what they're being charged. The Securities and Exchange Commission says your broker has a duty to seek the best execution that is reasonably available for its customers' orders. But it's not a guarantee. They require brokers, dealers to notify their customers if their orders are not routed for the best execution. And typically, this disclosure is on the trade confirmation slip you receive, which we saw with Scottrade. Determining whether or not a customer got best execution can be very difficult. And here's an example of the Securities and Exchange Commission trying to enforce the rule and not doing a very good job of it. They lost. They went to court and sued a broker for not giving the best execution, and they lost. So they're trying to make things more transparent, but the dealers, the brokerage firms, the dealers, the market makers, they don't like that. They don't want it to be transparent. They want you to believe that you are paying nothing for your trades. And so you, dear students, Business 123 students, Introduction to Investments, you are the investment gurus for your friends and family and coworkers, and you're going to tell them, no, Robinhood is charging you. You just don't see how you're being charged. And, you know, and I think the reason for this is just because it has reduced the cost so much that they don't want to say, look, all right, you know, go. You've reduced the cost so much to trade, you don't have to tell your customers how you're being charged, how they're being charged. I think it is. I don't know. I'm not a member of the SEC. So, did you learn something today?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because now we're going to soldier on. When we come back next week, bring them back. When we soldier on next week, We're finally going to talk about the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So we'll see you next week. Study, work on the assignments. We want you to be awesome. We didn't go over the assignments. Oh, well. Okay. Yeah, just put them right over here. Just put them over
here. On my desk.
On this desk, right there. Thank you so much. What a great class. Who snuck in late?